ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help businesses of all sizes think beyond today so they can find more success tomorrow. ADP, always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, April 13th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. In Ukraine, a kind of trench warfare has been taking place. Not in person, but digitally. Cyber attacks, which many expected to be a key part of Russia's strategy in the war, are continuously taking place. Yet, like Russia's ground invasion, these hacks haven't been as successful as Moscow may have hoped. On today's show, our cybersecurity reporter Dustin Volz joins us to discuss why these cyber strikes haven't been as catastrophic as experts feared, and how Russia may be changing its approach. That's after these headlines. A brain drain is hitting Russia's tech sector. Hundreds of thousands of young tech workers have left the country since its invasion of Ukraine. People who study Russia say an exodus of this size hasn't been seen since 1917, when millions of Russians fled the emerging communist state. Our reporter Georgi Konchev says the departures are hitting what had been a fast-growing part of Russia's economy.
The Kremlin has been championing the IT sector for years, and this is a big blow. They have, to some extent, encouraged dissenters to leave, but specifically when it comes to these tech workers, they've tried to stem the flow. There's this waiver that Putin granted last month, which basically it's a waiver from military conscription for people involved in the tech sector. And they're also offering tax breaks, cheaper loans, preferential mortgages to people in that sector. So they're really focused on tech.
You can hear more from Georgi on yesterday morning's edition of our sister podcast, What's News? Apple CEO Tim Cook on Tuesday warned privacy advocates that proposed antitrust laws in the U.S. and Europe will make iPhones less safe. Cook spoke at a conference in Washington, D.C.
Policymakers are taking steps in the name of competition that would force Apple to let apps onto iPhone that circumvent the App Store through a process called sideloading. That means data-hungry companies would be able to avoid our privacy rules and once again track our users against their will.
Several companies that operate in the app economy reject that argument, saying Apple's policies are intended to benefit its own bottom line. General Motors says it struck a multi-year agreement to source cobalt for its electric car batteries. Terms of the deal with the commodities firm Glencore weren't disclosed. The auto industry has been racing to secure battery ingredients as prices of raw materials increase. Meanwhile, Honda says it plans to spend more than $60 billion on EV development over the next 10 years. The Japanese automaker says it's aiming to launch 30 EV models globally and produce more than 2 million units a year by 2030. Honda also says it'll make a new investment in solid-state batteries that could improve EV performance. And if you hate throwing out an old gadget every time you buy a new one, you're not alone. The United Nations estimates that e-waste is growing about 3% a year, and most of it is not recycled. That's got some people considering renting their electronics instead of buying them. One company that aims to capitalize on this is the German startup Grover. The company rents out everything from iPhones to e-scooters, and it was recently valued by investors at more than $1 billion. WSJ Pro sustainable business reporter Dieter Holger says Grover's pitch is more than an environmental one.
So Grover has flexible rental periods and costs vary. Renting a product might cost 20% of its purchase price for a 3-month period or 50% for 12 months. Now you might be wondering why someone would do this instead of just leasing a product with monthly installments or buying something outright. Obviously, it lets people try things out before making a major commitment, but Grover also pitches its service as a way to avoid going into debt.
All right, coming up, experts say Russian cyber attacks against Ukraine have been relentless, but not catastrophic. Is that about to change? We'll discuss after the break.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. Knowing how to turn unpredictability into an advantage is where ADP comes in. ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions and help businesses of all sizes work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. ADP. Always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
When Russia's war in Ukraine started, many expected Moscow to lean on its elite core of state-sponsored hackers. This was meant to be the first modern war where cyber attacks were a key weapon. But that hasn't happened. Not the way people expected. And at least not yet. Now, Russia's denied conducting cyber strikes against other countries, but it has a reputation for supporting dangerous hacking groups that have targeted critical infrastructure in Ukraine and other parts of the world. So, how are cyber battles in this war playing out? And what do experts expect next? Here to discuss this is our cybersecurity and intelligence reporter, Dustin Volz. Hi, Dustin. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Russian-linked hackers are believed to be behind many devastating attacks on corporations and critical infrastructure around the world, but we haven't seen that kind of cyber devastation in Ukraine so far. So, what kind of cyber warfare has been taking place?
So what we have seen is sort of a smaller scale grinding conflict. There's no question that there is a lot of cyber activity, both on the traditional cyber attack capabilities, everything from spamming websites to knock them offline to use of so-called wiper malware that can infiltrate systems and destroy or delete files. We are seeing that. We're just not seeing it to the scale that a lot of people anticipated. And we also are, of course, seeing lots of what Russia is very well known for as well, sort of propaganda and disinformation campaigns being pushed either through state media or through social media networks. And that continues to persist throughout the conflict. But again, you know, despite what companies like Microsoft and others have seen, a lot of U.S. and Western officials have been surprised that they haven't seen the so-called A-team of Russian hackers come out with more of an aggressive posture. There's a lot of theories as to why that is. Certainly, Ukraine has spent, you know, the last several years since the 2014 invasion of Crimea really trying to bolster its cyber defenses against Russia. And the U.S. has been offering support, trying to help Ukrainian companies and Ukrainian agencies detect vulnerabilities before Russia is able to capitalize on them. So there's a lot going on the defensive side. There's also, you know, the sense that Russia thought Kyiv was going to fall within 72 hours of crossing the border. There seemed to be a sense that, you know, why take down the entire telecommunications network through a cyber attack when they're going to be in a position of trying to govern the area after just a few short days. Of course, the resistance from the Ukrainians was far more substantial than they anticipated. The war has not gone according to plan. And so what you're seeing now, in fact, is some more aggressive use of cyber capabilities that I think align a little bit more with what folks were expecting at the outset of the war.
So if they haven't been targeting, say, you know, some of the critical infrastructure, what have they been targeting?
Well, they certainly have been targeting some of the critical infrastructure. It just maybe hasn't been as successful. So we have seen sort of these limited attacks on landline providers, you know, companies that do give telecommunication services to their military systems, that actually was knocked off briefly in a cyber attack a few weeks ago. Also, you know, from the outset, we've seen distributed denial of service or DDoS attacks. These are, you know, very sort of routine, unsophisticated efforts to sort of send spam traffic to websites, government agencies or banking websites to knock them offline and kind of disrupt daily life in Ukraine. So there's been a lot of that happening even before the land invasion began. And in addition to all of that, there is, you know, some efforts to sort of coordinate cyber capabilities tactically on the ground with troop movements on the Russian side. And so this is something that, you know, we haven't really seen 21st century cyber operations used in a massive land war quite this way before. That could take many forms, from trying to disrupt or fry their communications systems to, you know, messing with satellite operations to any number of things.
How detrimental are those attacks? I mean, is this death by a thousand cuts, even if it's not, you know, one massive blow?
I think it's hard to say how effective they have been, but certainly we can say they have not been as effective as the U.S. And the West anticipated or Russia anticipated, I think. Again, you know, the war has just not gone according to plan, and it's hard to suss out, you know, how much of that is because of their miscalculation with cyber operations or them hitting stronger defensive than they anticipated versus, you know, the idea that just the war generally has been a problem. You know, when they have logistical challenges and can't get equipment to their troops on the front lines, or they're having, you know, documented examples of troops maybe not being that eager to fight their neighbors in Ukraine. I mean, there's a whole host of things going wrong for the Russians. The cyber domain is just one area of that.
Dustin, we have an upcoming episode where we're going to be running some listeners' questions about the role of tech in the war in Ukraine. But one that's already come in is about cyber warfare, and I just want to see if you could give us an answer to that. This is from Chip James from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Are there reports in Russia or anywhere about U.S.-based efforts for cyber attacks against Russia or Russia-aligned interests? Are we, is the United States, doing any offensive cyber warfare?
So, Dustin, do we know anything about this?
Well, this is a great question. Certainly, the offensive cyber operations that the U.S. engages in are some of the most classified secrets in the U.S. government. So there may be a reason that we maybe are not hearing more reports about it. There have been, you know, U.S. Cyber Command and other U.S. agencies that have been very transparent and clear that they've been offering defensive support to Ukraine and others in Eastern Europe. NATO has also offered some assistance. But on the offensive side of things, I think there's this expectation that there is some level of activity likely going on from the U.S. and the West against Russia. It's just really hard to sort of pinpoint exactly what that is and how serious it is. That's all within the context of the U.S. being concerned about broader cyber escalation. There have been a lot of warnings recently about Russia potentially attacking U.S. businesses or U.S. critical infrastructure. And so the U.S. is reticent to acknowledge anything that they may be doing against Russia or within Russia's borders on the cyber operations front. Further complicating this, you also have a lot of volunteer hackers in Ukraine and other places who have sort of jumped into the fray here. Anonymous, the collective of so-called activist hackers, have said they're engaging in some operations here. It's hard to measure those impacts, but, you know, most of it appears to be low-level annoyances rather than some sort of major disruptions or, you know, debilitating attacks. So all of this sort of contributes to the fog of war we're seeing. It's not just, you know, Ukraine's cyber hackers on one side and Russia's hackers on the other. It's Ukraine, it's Russia, it's NATO, it's the U.S. providing, you know, defensive assistance. And then all of these freelancers in the midst trying to engage in the cyber conflict.
You know, finally, Dustin, we're seeing Russia's strategy in its physical war changing. It's pivoting to the east. So do we expect this strategy when it comes to cyber warfare to pivot as well?
Absolutely. I think Ukrainian and U.S. officials are anticipating that as Russia recalibrates its approach and no longer is sort of looking to take Kyiv right away and instead focusing on the eastern region known as the Donbas, that the cyber operations very much may change as well. In fact, Viktor Zhora, a senior cybersecurity official in Ukraine, said yesterday that it does appear that the military failure of Putin's soldiers, as he called it, is leading to some more aggressive cyber operations. And he highlighted this attempted effort to create a blackout, essentially, like we've seen in years prior in Ukraine, in a region that officials said could have potentially affected 2 million Ukrainians. That effort, that hack was thwarted, but that is sort of the kind or caliber of attack that a lot of us, a lot of officials and reporters and others have been anticipating for a long time.
All right. That's our reporter, Dustin Volz. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.